While streaming online continues, the fundamental challenge facing church streaming is bridging the engagement gap between passive viewership and active spiritual participation. How do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about that next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Hey, folks, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us on the Church Solutions Podcast.
Hello, my name is Steve Lacy. Change it up every week, huh?
Every week. I just change it up. I'll see what you're going to do.
Yeah, curveball, fastball, and then just stop right in the middle of your intro.
These things are always challenging for Steve. That's why I like to do it. But he is Steve Lacy, and I'm Phil Thompson. We've only been doing this for a dozen years or so, and we're glad you're here, folks. Thanks for being with us. This is episode number 482, and I don't know what we're calling it. Well, usually we do the podcast, and then I look back and decide, okay, what are we actually going to title this? I do have kind of a title that we might use, and it's called The Future of Online Church. So I don't know if we're going to actually call it that. But we are going to talk a little bit about the future of online church today and talk about some stats and talk about what's going on there, because it's a very relevant subject. But before we do that, let's remember to remind people to check out our webinar coming up. We have a webinar for free. It's coming up July 22nd, 2025, depending on when you're hearing this. And by the way, you can always check out our other webinars. If you miss this thing and then you come back to it later, 10 years from now when we're all dead, you can still see the webinars. So they'll be online always. You cringe when I said that. I might be dead. You might. You're probably not going to be dead, Steve. You're healthy.
Who knows?
The webinar coming up. Let's just get into it. The webinar coming up is called Stream Smarter. Your streaming analytics are telling a story that could be your next breakthrough. So we are going to talk about analytics in this webinar. And why should you attend? Well, we're going to show you how you could actually create your own free digital ministry analysis, which would involve your website, your online platform and data and all that stuff. This will help you. It really can help boost engagement. You can leverage some of this stuff that we're going to talk about to increase people watching your stream and hopefully lead up to going into your church and becoming a part of things, help you grow strategically. And plus, you're going to have access to some expertise here with us. We got a great team here. I do want to mention one thing about another good friend of ours who's over in Scotland, mediamentoring.net. We're going to promote him, but as Steve and I just learned just a couple days ago, Graham Spencer, who we've had here on webinars and podcasts, he's undergoing some pretty serious surgery, and it involves cancer treatment involving the jaw, and it's very extensive surgery, so Graham's probably going to be out of commission, and he will be out of commission for a while, so pray for him. Because that's a very serious surgery. He's over there in Scotland, mediamentoring.net. And if you want to, he may give you some updates as he's able to. If you go over to LinkedIn, anybody who's on LinkedIn, you could probably find Graham Spencer on there. In fact, there's a video of him on there talking about the surgery, which I think he's having today or had yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I just want to bring that up. But he has some great analytics and some great techniques and some great courses. So anyhow, check out the webinar. It's July 22nd. It's free. And you can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, webinar.streamingchurch.tv, and you can sign up for free. And if you don't make it, that's okay. You'll get a copy of the webinar. And we don't plan for this to be very long, 30 to 45 minutes, but there will be some live Q&A. So if you show up live, you'll get to quiz Steve and I and Michael. And I think you'll enjoy it because analytics are really very important, and most people don't understand that. But it can really help your church, help your ministry. Did I say enough about this?
Yes, you have. Next week.
Yeah, it's next week. All right. So let's get to our podcast today. A lot of things going on. So according to some stats, and they vary out there, online church attendance is out there. Some say it's growing, some say it's not growing. But there is a lot of reasons why people are still online, convenience. But there is a fundamental challenge facing what you might call digital faith communities today. And digital is out there. Digital is not going away. But there's a challenge of it, and that's bridging the engagement gap between what we would call passive viewership and active participation, active spiritual participation. So we're going to talk a little bit about some stats here and how you can bridge that gap, shall we?
Yes, let me give a little bit of background. So this is something churches should be doing if they aren't already. This is a side benefit, but we've been running an online business for years, for decades, and Google Alerts is out there. And the way Google Alerts works is you can go in and you should, churches, you should do this, put your church name in, they may be there with your city, that sort of thing. And then anytime Google is crawling the web and it finds something related to the alert you're interested in, like my church, you know, whatever the name of your church is, it'll take you to the article that mentioned you or to the blog post or whatever. So anyway, little background, I've had streamingchurch.tv as an alert, and I have a few others as well. So another word of caution, though, the more general your name is, the more of this stuff you're going to get that has nothing to do with you. So if you've got if you're, you know, First Baptist Church, you put that as your alert, you're going to get a lot of alerts every day.
Because there's a lot of different First Baptist churches out there.
Yes, yes. So
but you want to be more specific. First Baptist Church of Tucson, Arizona?
Yeah, or something maybe. Like that. That will help. So anyway, I have a, you know, and so it's just interesting to stay on tap of what's getting published about you that's getting new on the web and any mentions, you know, whatever. So anyway, just a week or so ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I got an alert, it said streamingchurch.tv, and it was this article from SciTech that was talking about online giving and online streaming and just predominantly around churches. And it's an article that was just filled with a summary of a bunch of stats that we're going to kind of poke at here. A lot of them are coming from, you said, from Pew Research, right?
Pew Research is one of them. There's another one. That's not just Pew Research. I think it's called Enterprise Apps Today. Has some data that's a part of that. There's a lot of stats. I've got a few here in some of my bullet points. There's more. I don't know how many we're going to talk about, but why should people be concerned about these stats that we're going to talk about?
The face of streaming for your church has changed over the past few years. I mean, before COVID, only 20% of churches were streaming. After COVID, almost everybody's streaming. And the reason people went to streaming was, I want to continue to have a relationship with my church and I want to continue on. And so there was a driver to get everyone, or there was an encouragement or motivation for everyone to attend online because they couldn't attend in person.
Yeah, they had
That's all behind us now. So the trend is changing. And so all of these stats talk about who's attending online and why are they attending online? And the big problem that occurs here is there's an engagement gap, so that the majority of people, and you've probably seen this or I've seen this, in that the majority of people that are attending online are attending not because it's the only thing, it's because it's the most convenient thing. Mm-hmm. So I have this discussion with my family all the time. You know, we're either working at church or we're going to church, or sometimes we got something else going on, and so we're going to watch church online. So just because it's just an option, whereas before it was like we got something else going on, and depending on the significance of it, we just weren't going to go to church. You know, we missed that week. But now we have a lot of people that are watching online are watching because it's the most convenient way to attend the church.
Yeah, there's a stat that we can quote. 74% cite convenience as a primary reason for online attendance. So they, that's just backs up what you just said.
Yeah. So it's just kind of, it's not, you know, the statues, you look at them, you go, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. And what occurs out of all of this is, you know, one of the biggest problems that occurs with people attending online and being convenience, doing it from convenience, is there's a big engagement gap. You have some stats handy and ready about how people feel when they attend in person, how engaged they feel versus how engaged they feel like when they're attending online.
Yeah, one of the stats that jumps out is only 25% of virtual viewers consider themselves active participants. So only 25. So all people watching, only a quarter of them really feel like they're active. 65%, maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but 65% of in-person attendees report strong bonds with fellow worshipers versus only 28% of virtual attendees. So in other words, the people, 65% that actually show up at the facility feel like they're building or have strong bonding with their fellow, you know, worshipers. However, again, the big difference is only 28% of virtual attendees feel like they have a bond with the people they're watching online with. So should I keep going here a little more with
this? Sure.
We're gonna chomp on this. And we've got some real, I've got some opinions on this that I can share. I'm sure Steve does too. 32% feel like passive observers, while 42% are in the somewhat in between. So I don't know what that means, where they may like, okay, I'm online and maybe I'll say hello or something on the chat, and then that's it. I don't know. But 32% feel like they're passive observers.
Yeah, the accountant in me is jumping out here. 25% consider themselves active participants, but 28% have strong bonds. So some of these people, 3% of those people have strong bonds and they're not actually participating, which is, I guess it does make sense. I mean, you can have bonds with people that you're worshiping with and not be as active as you would be coming to the service. And
sure. Yeah.
So the challenge for churches is how do you create those engagement bonds with online church? So, and we're going to sound like a broken drum with a lot of things here. You know, number one is we frown on the churches. We provide the option with our platform and other platforms as well that you can just stream the video. So the churches control that level of activity by the way they choose to stream, right? So if you're, it's hard to be actively participating if there's no way to actively participate in the online service.
And for those who may be new to us, streamingchurch.tv, that's who we are. We have multiple products, but Streaming Church. So when Steve talks about we have a platform that has video and chat and all that, that's us, streamingchurch.tv. Yeah. So if your church is just running and not, even if you're not using us, you're using somebody else and all you have is just a video. Well, yeah, people are just, they're not gonna, unless there's some link or something where they can send a prayer request, you know, they're really not going to be actively engaged.
Yes.
They're just watching. They're passively watching.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things that you can do as a church to get these people engaged. And I think I don't think these stats were anywhere in here as well, but I think just based on my gut is that if a church is more active in the participation of the online service, it's a richer service for the people that aren't active or just checking you out or not willing to participate. It means a really different thing from, oh, I'm watching the stream on, you know, my TV or whatever, and versus, oh, I've got this thing going on my phone or my computer or wherever I, you know, want to watch the service. And I see that there's a ton of engagement here. One of the things that jumps out to me is I have a son that is a streamer for a living, and his engagement level is just through the roof with his audience. And it's to the point where he's gone out and just created little widgets that people can play with. We should probably take some, write this down, Phil, we may want to do it on the streaming platform. Create some widgets that people can play with that are interactive to kind of communicate and poke fun at him or whatever, you know, that was, that they're just, that the chat in on his stream is just flying by. I mean,
and when you say that, he's a gamer.
He is a promoter and a caller of games. So he's the color commentary. Believe it or not, there is a gaming world that has a very large audience where people just watch the gamers play the games, and they fill large auditoriums. He was just actually in North Carolina 2 weeks ago.
This is Ben, right?
Yeah, this is Ben. So yeah. Okay, yeah. And it's filled with people watching these gamers play. And so it is a spectator sport. So in order to make it more exciting, this is a good parallel here as well, is they have commentary on the gamers, you know, just like you do when you watch a football game, you turn the volume off, you lose all the commentary, and the commentary does add something to it. So he has commentary on the game, that the game's going on, but even between games, he'll put up stuff that will allow people to participate. So he'll say, you know, hey, if we have enough people punching this meter to get it up to above 90, then I'll take a, you know, he'll do something on camera or whatever.
Something on camera, yeah. Yeah. So maybe we ought to do that with church stuff, and maybe we have commentators during the worship, you know. Wow, that guitar guy was off key on that one.
He was riff. But even if it's not an audio commentator, the whole idea behind a web host is really it's that person that's going to welcome people, and you're going to comment and go, hey, this song is one that we've been, you know, we're introducing this week. It's on 1 Peter 12. Here's the reference. You know, you can kind of see the inspiration for the song because it's based on this verse.
Yeah.
And somebody dropping into the service just, you know, and then all I saw was somebody, you know, worship band or worship group playing, but you got that little piece of commentary and like, oh, wow, these guys are really engaged. And then other people go, oh, wow, I looked that verse up and, you know, it says this about that, you know, and that what that does is you can increase that engagement. You're going to get people more engaged and more involved with your online ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So permit me to pontificate a little bit as well here. So, you know, when I came back from being a senior pastor and I joined staff at Alive, I was on, you know, one of the things I ended up doing was a church online guy. And that was my job, was to really entice engagement and create engagement for people. And we literally stuck a camera it's not hard to do, folks. It just takes a little bit of effort. We took an extra camera and shoved it in one of the offices at the church. And then we would do breakaways with a switcher, which, again, not hard to do, but especially back then it was more of a challenge. Now it's easier, I bet, and less expensive. But we had a situation where, you know, I would come on and welcome people before the service started. I would give some news or some updates, some announcements, especially tailored for people online. And then, you know, we'd go to the actual auditorium. I would come back maybe to do the offering. I would come back maybe if there was a break between music and the actual, you know, speaker, and make my own announcements that would be tailored towards people online. Offerings, you know, I would receive the offering online. So there was a way for people to give online. And I'm still bitter because we had a large offering and I didn't get 10% of it. But I digress. I'm just kidding. So, and even at the end, of the event. I would still be available to take prayer requests. And something that Michael Gray, who's also with us now, is on staff back there. One of the things that he mentioned a while back was, you know, you can start streaming before the actual event starts because you got people coming in and you can kind of banter with those people before the service starts. Just like you get people that show up earlier at a facility. You know, sometimes people get in early, get their coffee, you know, say hi to Joe or whatever. You can do this.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you take a cue from, and Jason Moore points this out in his book, Both Hand, that you're watching a football game, the people broadcasting that game, somebody gets hurt and they're on the field for 10 minutes. You're not sitting watching the guys come and tend to this guy. They break away to something that is going to be more appealing to this online audience. So if you, it's just a matter of recognizing that this online audience is there. And we, you talked about the breakaways. Yeah. They were specifically and only for those online. They were not, they were not geared for people that were in the sanctuary. So it's just have a little bit of forethought and recognize that, that who is your audience? It is not only the people in the building, but it's people watching online, and there's can be a large number. And if you just completely ignore them when, you know, there's a downtime between transitions in the service and they got to sit through that, whereas they get some better stuff. So, yeah.
And I know some people are going to say, well, Phil, we can't afford another camera. We can't do like a switch over to a church online guy. But you – so you don't have to do that. You could still – as Steve is talking here, you can still use chat. You can still put some things in. I mean, we have stuff on our platform that allows people to check out a blog if your church has a blog, or give online, or private prayer request. And so as a host, you call them a web host or church online host, whatever you want to call them, that person, he or she, can be promoting those things. Hey, if you have a prayer need, please click on the prayer request button here. If you want to give online, here's where you can give online. If you want to catch up with the latest newsletter, here's a link to the, you know, there's lots of things you can do that promote interactivity, let alone just chatting together.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, there's lots of options there to do that don't take a lot of effort. Because what's going to happen is if, you know, people are attending for convenience, and if they're not going to be engaged and they're kind of going to be disregarded after a while, they're going to, it's not going to be as a great of an experience being online, and they may, you know, it's and just.
Yeah. They'll fade away.
They'll just fade away
and you won't see them anymore. And I will also say this, and we did this, we jumped through a lot of hoops to do it back then. Now it's so easy now. Now you can have online small groups very easily by using some free third-party sources like Google Meet. We tried it all back then. I'm talking 10, 15 years ago, but we did, you know, Teams, which is a platform. I don't think we did Zoom back then, although Zoom can be done now and can be easily used by everybody. There's just all sorts of opportunities. Skype is no longer around, but we used Skype back then. But you can do stuff for those people that are introverts or whatever you want to call them that are not even in your neighborhood but are watching somewhere else far, far away. You can still do activities during the week with them using online tools. And you can have interaction, and you can see changes in people's lives. And as you've said to before, Steve, especially those who are looking for a church, you know, they're going to see your online stream, and there's a good chance if they like what they see, if they feel like it's a good fit, if the message has really hit them, they're going to show up at your at your facility.
Yeah. And you pay attention to that online audience as well. So it's like, you know, if you completely ignore or have no way for anyone to participate or provide any feedback, it looks like a really sterile environment. They're going to say, oh, let's go try another, because it's really convenient, another online church. But if you've got a level of engagement going on with the service, that's going to be appealing. It's just like, you know, walking into a building as well. If people are talking with each other and things are going on, there's a certain level of energy that energizes people when they arrive. Yeah. So, and that lack of energy could be pushed online as well, or you can just, it's just easy to create a level of energy that's going to encourage the engagement and people getting connected.
It takes a little bit of effort, but if you just start with the effort, you don't, and some of these things that we're talking about here, you know, you don't have to do them all at once, you know, but you can start small and start, you know, by, if you use chat on your platform, you know, start chatting with people, even if they don't respond, at least say hello, good morning. You know, say what the sermon's about, say, you know, add what maybe the key scripture is. If you do stream the music, you know, talk about the song, even if people don't necessarily jump in right away. Sometimes it starts small, you know, despise not small beginnings, as the scripture says, and you'll see that there can be some real fruits come from it. But again, it takes a little bit of effort and consistency.
Yeah. And there's tools on the streaming platforms. We have one that has shown to almost triple the engagement online was turning on the AI web host on your thing. So it will spice up the conversation as people arrive, as people participate. Yeah. It will, it knows your church and it'll keep that conversation going.
So, yeah, it will. There's and people can be fascinated by it too. You know, try to trick it or something. You can have some fun with it. You know, but it's really improved a lot over the years. And you know, if you don't like AI and you have our company, you don't have to use it. Yeah. You can use, you know, you can disengage it. But there's thing. Let me just bring up something before we leave here too, and that is some people are concerned about the music, and you know, another option is maybe don't stream the music. You know, maybe just stream the message.
Yeah. And that's, it's getting, there's, you know, Jason Moore, we've had on for podcasts and webinars in the past, wrote a whole book about how to optimize. He feels that the future of the church is both in person and online. And just like we don't ignore the, you know, people broadcasting or holding a football game, they're not going to ignore the online audience. So there's some things that you can do to make it even more convenient and more appealing to that online audience. So one of the things is maybe, like you mentioned, not do the worship online, because a lot of people that are not moved by the worship online and they're just primarily focused on the message. So if you can go through and just maybe broadcast, make it even more convenient. So you've got a 25, 30 minute sermon, just broadcast the sermon portion of it. There's all kinds of tips and tricks that you can do to leverage the online piece.
I would suggest too, if I was going to do this, if I was going to start, I was a pastor for years. If I was going to do another church, I would stream online, but then I would do something different during the week with a live stream. You might call it a video podcast. And you know, we've talked about podcasts here. I think churches should do a podcast. They certainly should do a blog too. But I would do something, you know, I remember back in the 70s, I almost went to work for them, CBN, you know, Pat Robertson, CBN. And they had a weekly show, a daily show, which was sometimes very, very interesting. You know, and it wasn't just preaching all the time. It was different activities, different topics and stuff. You know, I would consider using streaming video for that as well. So you're not just taking your message and putting it online from Sunday, although that's a great option, and you probably should have clips on your website of your message. But I would consider even doing something different online during the week, where you address maybe certain topics, maybe get a little bit, you can get a little political if you wanted to, just to share some thoughts on things and share some ideas and things that might be different than Sunday, but might open the door up for people to find it and, again, interact with you online and connect with you. And if they're in your neighborhood, you know, maybe show up to your facility. So online is here to stay, right? Digital's here to stay. Let's take advantage of it.
Yeah. And along those lines, most people are not looking for a church. They're looking for answers to their problems.
Exactly.
So if you're posting content that has to do with things that would address answers to their problems, yeah, they're going to find you. You seem credible. They're going to check you out a little more. And yeah, then eventually, you know, they'll be a part of your ministry and have their lives change. Yeah. So yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah. There's lots of things you can do. And that, Steve, you're right on about that. People are looking for answers for what they're dealing with. Could be their families, you know, could be their health, obviously spiritual ideas and spiritual thoughts, you know, all those things are something that, it wouldn't take that much. Yes, it takes some time. Yes, you're going to have to be consistent at it, but you'll find it's a great tool. Online is a great tool. So, and you know, we can go on here, so we can't because of time, but you can share some things like during the week that are maybe different, and then they can be clipped up and put on social media. So somebody sees a 60-second clip of, you know, Phil Thompson talking about why, you know, calorie counting is much better than trying to go with the Mediterranean diet, you know. I mean, it's stuff like that because people are concerned about their health, you know. And so it's a little dig at my wife. I don't think we'll hear this. She's starting the Mediterranean diet. She's moving to the Mediterranean.
All right.
I'm just kidding. All right. We're out of time here. This webinar is going to talk a lot about stats that are important. So take a look at it. July 22nd, sign up for it. That's a Tuesday. It's 12 noon Eastern time. So if you can make it live, that would be great. Have some fun with Q&A. But if you can't, sign up anyhow, and you'll get the copy of it. And it's called Stream Smarter Digital Analytics. Streaming analytics are telling a story that could be your next breakthrough. Webinar.streamingchurch.tv is where you sign up, and you can see our other webinars too. We got a lot of webinars from the past, and we got some more coming up. So there you go. All right, Steve, I guess we're done here, huh?
All done.
All righty. Well, thank you. And thank you for listening or watching to the Church Solutions podcast, whatever platform you might be watching it on. We sure do appreciate it. Sure. Maybe sign up and subscribe to the Church Solutions podcast so you never miss one, and give us a rating if you can. My name is Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast.